Our gospel reading this day comes from the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Mark. Jesus frequently uses parables to teach ordinary people as they are able to hear and understand. Images of sowing and growing show the vitality of God's kingdom. The gospel this day from Mark 4, beginning with the 26th verse. Jesus also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He doesn't know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It's like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is smallest of all the seeds on the earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, grace to you in peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus, the risen Christ. So if you end up driving past Trinity Lutheran in downtown Bismarck, you are going to see workers hard at work. This past week, we were blessed with crews from Straightway Construction coming in, and they began replacing windows on the second floor of the building, the windows to the west on the old education unit, and the windows to the north. A couple of windows on the lower level have been replaced as well. It has been a gift to have this crew of people around to begin that work. So it's really the Sunday school section of our building at this point that is getting windows replaced. On the first day of construction, Pastor Lee and Gracia went up into the education wing, which you probably remember was built in the 1950s, so those were still the original windows. They went up and they held their hand against one of the windows that hadn't been replaced yet, and you could just feel the heat radiating off it. They went next door to a room where a window had already been replaced. No radiating. It'll be a gift to get those windows in place. Might save us a bit of energy as well. I mean, think about the number of young people who have gone through each of those classrooms since that 1950s addition was built. Thousands of young people coming and learning the stories of the faith, learning about God's incredible love, learning the call to repentance, to a change in the way of being and living, to follow God's calling. But Sunday school hasn't been around forever, you know? That's the truth. In 1751, in Dursley, Gloucestershire, England, William King started something. He noticed on the streets of his community young children who spent 6 days a week at work laboring in different places. It was a time of child labor. Because they worked 6 days a week, there was no opportunity for them to go to school. King decided that on Sundays, his church would start what was called Sunday school. A place to gather these young people together to teach them the basics of reading, writing, arithmetic, and using the Bible as the basis for teaching reading. The year was 1751. By 1785, there were 250,000 children in Sunday schools across all of England. What started out as this small attempt to help child laborers get a bit of an education blossomed into this incredible ministry that then began to ripple across the world. And I mean, what church would call itself a church today without a Sunday school? I invite you to listen closely to the parables from today. You might want to grab your Bible and read through them again. Let those parables take root in your very being. Parables were written to kind of shake us, jar us, make us think. It's not one easy answer that is to flow out of a parable, but instead, it is pondering and wondering. Chapter 4 of the Gospel of Mark begins with, "What is my favorite parable?" And I've got to tell you, I think to understand the two parables that we have before us in this reading on the third Sunday of Pentecost today, we need to go back and grab that parable as well to have it in front of us. A large crowd of people have gathered together around Jesus and his disciples, and he says to them, "Listen. A sower went out to sow." Listen, he says. Jesus is trying to grab us by the ears with this parable to draw us in and think about the way God works in the world. He tells the parable of a sower who goes out to sow. And I'm sure that you remember the parable. He sows lavishly, and some of that seed falls on rocky ground, and on pathways, and birds of the air come swooping in, and they eat it up before it can grow. Some fell on rocky ground, where it sprung up quickly, but since it had no depth of root, when the sun came out and beat on it, it just shriveled up and withered away. Some seed fell in the midst of weeds, and it got choked out before it could produce any fruit. But some fell in good soil, and it produced 30 and 60 and 100-fold. And then Jesus says again, "Let anyone with ears to hear listen." Jesus, from the very beginning of the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Mark, begins to talk in parables to invite us in to think and ponder and wonder. But the disciples didn't understand it. So Jesus takes them aside later on, and he explains to them that the sower is sowing the word of God. And that the seed that falls on the path, well, it's like people who hear the word of God, but before anything can happen with it, Satan comes along and snatches it up before it can take root. The seed sown on rocky ground is like ones who hear it, and they receive it with great joy, but they have no depth of root. So, when adversity comes along, they wither away. Some is sown among weeds, and that's like the word that falls in the midst of people who have more cares about wealth and the things of the day and the joys of life. And so it just withers away and is choked off. But some of the word of God lands in good soil, and it produces 30 and 60 and 100-fold. In other words, it does what it does. Then as we come into our readings from today, Jesus invites us to think about what the kingdom of God looks like. It's like a seed sown in the soil. In the soil it goes, and you can get up night and day, and you can go out and check it, and you can watch, and you can wait, but you have no idea when it's going to sprout, because all of a sudden it'll sprout, and then it'll grow. And pretty soon as it grows, it will produce a stalk, and from the stalk it will produce a head, and then pretty soon the head will fill, and it's time for the harvest. interesting to me to remember that what is being sown in the midst of these parables is God's word. And the challenge that I hear in the midst of this is that we, followers of the risen Christ, would put the word of God, or God himself, in the form of the Son at the very center of our lives. That as the word settles in, we have no idea how or when it's going to sprout and grow. And partly what that means is we have absolute no control over it. I hear in the midst of this a call that we would keep Jesus at the center and that we would be at work spreading the word in the way that we are, in the way that we speak, in the way that we live, in the way that we interact with people that we run into. And then God will do with it what God will do. Just as a seed planted in the soil will burst forth when it's good and ready. We have no control. All we can do is wait. And what will happen? We have no idea. Think about the mustard seed parable. A tiny seed planted in the ground, left to be, it bursts forth and it grows. And Jesus says it grows large enough that birds of the air can come and make their nests in the shade underneath it. We have no idea. When the word is being tossed about where it's let to fall, where it may, where it's let to grow, where it will, we have no idea what's going to come from it. Will it take root? Will it grow? Back to the idea of Sunday school in 1751 and William King. Do you think that he had any idea of what would come from this ministry that he was starting? He just wanted to gather a few kids. He just wanted to take care that they might be able to read. And pretty soon, this idea began to spread from community to community to community. And before you know it, 250,000 children in England were in Sunday school. We're called to sow and watch God's kingdom burst forth. Where? We don't know. When? We don't know. How exactly? We don't know. We have no control over that. We just get invited to be the ones who would spread the word of God wherever we live, wherever we walk, wherever we play. That's our call. Thanks be to God. And amen.